Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. And so if you want to turn there, this is a short passage. And I know I've preached on part of this passage back in 22, but today, this past week or week and a half, I've had something rolling over in my mind and in my heart that I know it's what God is trying to get me to understand and to get me to be more of what He wants me to be. And so I want to start off by saying, what's the quickest way to get information around in a small town? Hey, did you hear? Or hey, don't tell anybody. And man, it's gone. And before you know it, you can drive across town and it will beat you there. That's the way it happens. Life in a small town, wouldn't trade it for anything, but there are those things that spread really fast. And most of the time, it's the negative things. But today, we're going to talk about something in Mark that spread like that, and it was a great thing. So if you want to read along with me, I'm going to start in verse 23 of Mark chapter 1. It says, "Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." Now I'm going to jump down to verse 32. "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." Let's pray. Father, we just come before you right now, and we thank you so much for all that you do. Lord, the way you've kept your word perfect. And you've got it for us today at this time, for such a time as this, to teach us what it is you have for us. Lord, may we be open and attentive to your Spirit. Lord, your word becomes alive through him, and we just thank you for that. Lord, move in this place. Help us to be submissive to your will. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is one that one of the early things that happened in Jesus' ministry. He had just been baptized not long before this. This is one of the first times. And what is taking place is he heals the demon-possessed man. And then he goes on. The part I didn't read is where he went into Peter's house and his mother-in-law was sick, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then right after that, it says that as the sun had set at evening, this was because that day had been the Sabbath. And they were not allowed to do anything. They were only allowed to walk so far, and they were only allowed to carry certain things. And there was just certain things that they could do on the Sabbath. And so they had to wait until evening before they could do what it tells us in this passage. And so that's important. And I want us to get back to that. So don't forget that this had taken place on a Sabbath and they had to wait till evening to do what they were about to do. But I want to talk about first the fact that his fame spread throughout the whole region around Galilee. Now, at this point, very few people knew who he was as far as being claiming to be the Son of Man, because he was just that one that John the Baptist spoke about, and John the Baptist talked about him, and he began the ministry, and he began teaching that they were to repent and believe in the gospel. And so that's pretty much all he's done. He just called the four of the disciples, the fishermen. He just called them. And so this is very early on in his ministry that this is taking place. And so these people begin to talk about what? In Mark's gospel, this was the only thing that had happened, was this demon-possessed man was in the temple or the synagogue, and he had an unclean spirit, and Jesus cast it out. Now, there may have been some other things that had taken place, because we know that if every miracle that Jesus performed had been written down in the Bible, then the Bible would be too big for me and you to carry. But the bottom line is, what is in there, what we know of, is that Jesus had performed some miracles. Mark, this is the only one he recorded to this point. Do you understand that one thing amazed everybody? He cast this demon out, and they were all, it tells us they were all amazed. Now, there have been times, and sometimes I think we use that word too much. Those two words that we always use, awesome and amazing, we use too much, I think. Because really, the only thing that is awesome, awe-striking, is really God. And the only thing that truly, truly is amazing is God and the life He creates. But what He did here, the people were amazed. They'd never seen anything like this before, and they begin to question it. What kind of authority does this man have that he can speak to unclean spirits and cast them out? And they begin to say, did you hear about this man? Did you hear what happened at church last week? And the whole region, with not one cell phone, they were able to spread the whole rumor throughout the whole region. It went across the lake. It went around the lake. It went in that whole region to where everybody knew. They were amazed, so much so that message was spread throughout the whole region. And it didn't take a long time. It tells us immediately his fame spread. You ever wonder who spread that? And I'm sure that one man that had the evil spirit cast out of him, I'm sure he told a lot of people. I'm sure he went and he told as many people as he could. But he is not going to reach the whole region. So, who all spread this rumor? Who all spread this information? Yes, it was that man, but there were other people who were there. There were other people there in the synagogue that had came to listen to the scriptures being read. That was their habit of what they did on the Sabbath. And they would come and they would hear this. And they saw something that they did not expect when they were in the synagogue that day. They went to church expecting to read and hear scripture, and all of a sudden they saw something different. And it changed everything. It amazed them so much that even though it didn't happen to them, they went out and told everybody in the region. So those people that were there at the church, there at the synagogue, began to tell what Jesus did. But you know, their synagogue wasn't that big. It wouldn't have been so big that it could have had enough people that would have contacted the whole region. So what had to have happened? It doesn't tell us in the scripture, but we can understand because we know how rumors spread in a small town. When one person sees something and they begin to tell about it, and I go tell Salvador, and Salvador knows it's a trustworthy source, then he's going to go tell somebody else. And they're going to know that Salvador is a trustworthy source, and so they're going to go tell somebody else. And before you know it, it's not just this one man that had the evil spirit cast out that's telling people. It's not just the people that were there telling people, but it's the people who heard and believed without having to see. We're told in John's gospel by Jesus, when Thomas didn't believe because he hadn't seen the nail prints and the hole in Jesus' side, he wasn't going to believe. And so Jesus comes back and he shows him his hands and his side. And he says, I believe. And Jesus says, blessed are those who believe who haven't seen. That's the people that reach the region. Stop and think about the difference testimony makes. And so many times we think of the testimony of my salvation or the testimony of your salvation, and that is something that God has given and you should never keep to yourself. He's given it to you personally, but not for you to personally keep. He's given it to you to tell other people. Well, here, when people began to talk, it wasn't maybe that one man, it was his personal testimony, but everybody else, whether they were there or whether they had been told by somebody that they trusted, they were able to share what Jesus did, and it changed the whole region. Here's where it gets uncomfortable. They were able to change the whole region, and Jesus' fame was able to go spread throughout the whole region because they heard people talk. Question number one, have you told anybody about how Jesus has moved? Now, like I said, I often tell people about how when I was 21, I surrendered my life to Jesus and He called me into the ministry, and I can focus sometimes on that. And that is my personal testimony, but that is not the only testimony that I should have. Because if I meet with God every morning, if I walk with God every day, and I say if because I mess up. But if we do those things, if we meet with God every morning, if we walk with God every day, if we turn to Him, if we fall at His feet whenever things are going right or going wrong, you're going to have a testimony because God is going to move in your life. So the question, how long or have you told anybody about Jesus and how He's moved in your life? Yes, your personal testimony, but your daily testimony. That's what I'm talking about. Because I can tell people about something that happened, holy cow, 40 years ago. I can tell somebody about that. And they can say, well, yeah, you had a religious experience. But if I tell them how God has intervened in my life, and I begin to share with them what He has done in my life, and my life reflects that, then that God can use. And He gives us that every day. He walks with us every day. He's interceding at the right hand of God for us every day. His Holy Spirit indwells in Christians all the time. You do not need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, you didn't think you'd hear that at church, did you? Understand what I'm saying. Too many times, and I catch myself too, saying, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. You cannot have any more spirit than He gave you on the day that you accepted Him. Our problem is, Lord, help me be submissive to the Spirit that You gave me. Because that's our problem. When it's written in the Bible that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that the Holy Spirit moved on them at that time because they were submissive to the Holy Spirit. It's not like, I'm running out of spirit, God, I've got a leak, which, yeah, we probably do, but we're not going to have less or more than I had on the day that I come to know Him. It's just I'm going to understand it more. I'm going to submit to Him more. That's what it's all about, that we submit to the Holy Spirit and we share how that Spirit has moved in our life. How long has it been since you've told somebody? Because if you don't tell anybody, then how are we going to change the region in which we live if we never share what He's doing? Well, they're doing some great things at that little church around the corner, or that church up on the hill, or that church across the street. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Those aren't bad things, but I want to know what he's doing in your life. I want to know what he's doing in individual lives, because God is a personal God and he works in individuals. And we need to hear that. We need to understand that. But in order for that to happen, I have to be submissive to him. The regions around Galilee immediately heard about Jesus. But you know what? At the end of the evening, when the sun had set, at the end of the Sabbath, like I said, all these people began to bring people to Peter's house. Why did they bring them? Why did they bring them to the house? Because they had sympathy for these people. Maybe I was there at the time when the evil spirit was cast out, and I know somebody else that has that same issue, so I want to go get them and I want to bring them to where Jesus is at. Or I've heard that Jesus, if he's got that power, well, what about this person that is sick or lame or blind? Then I should bring them to Jesus and allow the power of Jesus to change them. They brought the sick and the demon-possessed to Jesus. The thing I couldn't get over with this passage is they waited till the end of the Sabbath. You know, that could have been really scary. Because what if Jesus had moved on? Well, we're not going to go... We want to be religious and we want to be obedient to the laws, so we're not going to go to Jesus right now. We're not going to take them to Jesus right now because we want to be religious. And what if Jesus had moved on to some other town before sundown? So many times we don't go tell that person about how Jesus has moved, because there's always something holding us back. Maybe it's us being religious. Well, I can just have them come to church with me. That's a good religious thing to do, and they'll come to church and they'll hear God's word preached, and that'll be all they need. Or maybe there's something else that is hindering you. Maybe it's they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to know about Jesus, or they would be going to church on their own if they really wanted to know. So why did they go and tell people? It wasn't just a rumor. It wasn't something that would make them feel better. That's generally how we spread our rumors the best, is if I tell this about so-and-so, I put them down so it makes me feel better, or it makes me look better because I know more information than the next person. And so we have all these reasons of why we pass on the bad stuff, but we don't have a good enough reason of why we don't pass on the good stuff. That's what we're supposed to do. But they had three things. They had sympathy for those that were hurting. You look it up. Feeling sorry for someone's misfortune is basically what sympathy is described as in this passage. Man, they saw those people that were sick. They saw those people that were demon-possessed. And man, only by the grace of God, I'm not there, which they didn't understand that at this point. But they knew that these people were worse off, and they had heard, they had seen that what Jesus had done, and so let's take them to Jesus. But you know, the sympathy only goes so far, because sympathy is just feeling sorry for someone else's condition. It has to be moved to compassion. Compassion is that moving of just from feelings to action. It is a action-oriented response by a desire to help because of your sympathy. Man, so many times, man, I feel bad for so-and-so. Not going to do anything about it, but I feel bad for them. That's where we get. That sounds terrible, but that's where we're at a lot of times. Just think about these people all throughout this region. They're hearing about Jesus. If no one had taken them to Peter's house, man, I feel sorry for you. I'm gonna tell you about this guy. Go find him. No, that's not what they did. It says they took and they took them. They brought them to him. Because of their compassion, it caused them to bring these people to Jesus. They didn't just send them. But you know, that couldn't have been easy. Think about that. Here you have however many friends, and maybe not everybody you know is probably sick, and not everybody you know is, hopefully not everybody you know is demon-possessed or whatever, but you know at least one that have some misfortune that needs Jesus. But think about this. Have you ever walked up to somebody and you tried to share Jesus with them, you tried to share the gospel with them, the love of God with them, and they just accepted it just like that? Doesn't happen very often. But think about these people. Because if you have a lame man, you have to carry him to Jesus. If you have someone that's blind, you have to lead them to Jesus. And so it was not going to be easy, but go a step farther. If your friend was demon-possessed, do you think he's going to want to go to Jesus? Man, it's a knockdown, drag-out fight. I'm going to have to ask him several times. I'm going to have to continue to tell him to come with me. Come with me and let me show you something that can help you out of your situation. For the demon-possessed people that were brought, it wasn't just, hey, let's go see Jesus. Oh, all right. Because every demon in this story knew who Jesus was. And they were not going to voluntarily go to Jesus. It is not going to be easy to get people to come to Jesus. And I'm not talking about coming to church. Sometimes that's easy. I'm talking about bringing people to Jesus is not easy. That's why we give up. Well, I tried. I talked to them two or three times. Maybe that fourth time is all you need. What if the person that talked to you would have stopped one time sooner? So the next question. Have you brought anyone to the door of Jesus? And when I say door, I mean the presence of Jesus. Now, you can't force them to go in the door. You can't force them to accept Christ. But we have to be at the point, at the mindset of bringing people to the presence of Jesus, not sending them to church. How can I bring someone to the presence of Jesus if I don't spend time there myself? It'll never happen. But the more time I spend in the presence of Jesus, the more I'm going to want somebody else to be there. And when I have sympathy and compassion, then I will be able to take them and show them and bring them to the presence of Jesus. And then it's all up to them. It's not me. I can't make them. I can't force them. There's nothing I can do to get somebody to accept Jesus Christ. That is a personal decision that they have to make. But there are a lot of things, hear this, there are a lot of things I can do to keep people from coming to the presence of Jesus because of my attitudes, my actions, and a bad testimony. Sympathy. Sometimes I don't think we think it's our job to bring people to the presence of Jesus. But when we've been commissioned to go and make disciples, that is not my job. Okay? We need to understand that. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not the Bible study leader's job. It is anyone who is a Christian who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's your job. So they were amazed. They spread Jesus' fame throughout the land. They brought people to Jesus. They're outside Peter's house. He's inside. He's healing Simon's wife's mother-in-law from a fever. And he looks out the window at evening, and they've brought all of these people. It says the whole city gathered at the door. Would that not be amazing if every single person in the whole region was gathered at the door of a church because they knew that Jesus was going to be there? Well, they've got to have evidence that He's there. And the only evidence that they're going to see has to be out there. And so that's up to us. But the whole city gathered. And I got to thinking this week as I'm studying this, who all would have been there? There, of course, we know the sick were there. We know the possessed were there. We know that those people who brought the sick and possessed were there. But I'm sure there were some others that were just curious. What is going on? I don't have a sick friend. I don't have a demon-possessed friend. And I'm just wondering, what's going to happen? Because here this whole crowd is going to Simon's house. And so, I wonder what's going to happen. And those curious people begin to come and see what Jesus is going to do. There were a lot of curious people there that day, I'm sure, because the whole city gathered. When they know Jesus is going to be there, people will get curious. When you start telling people, when I start telling people what Jesus is doing, how He's moving, how He's touching lives, even those people that don't really know are going to begin to get curious about this Jesus thing. Who is this guy? Is there something to it? Can He really change your life? There were curious people there that day too. They weren't the only ones. I'm sure in that crowd there were a lot of skeptics. I'm going to go just to prove this wrong. And when nothing happens, I'm going to be the first one to go back to town and tell everybody Jesus didn't do a thing. There are skeptics. Everywhere you try to tell people about Jesus and how He's moved in your life, how you've seen Him move, there are always going to be skeptics there. And they are always going to try to find a way. They're going to look at you. They're going to watch you. They're going to try to find some way for you to mess up or some way for Jesus to let you down so they can say, "See, I told you, He's not real." But you know, that responsibility is not up to me. My job is just to do what they did, just bring people to the door of Jesus. So the skeptics are going to be there in our life too. But no matter how they came, no matter why they were there, they were there. Whether they were there to be healed or whether they brought somebody or whether they were curious or whether they were skeptics, they all got to see what Jesus did. But they would not have been there had the people not seen, the original ones not seen, how Jesus moved so much so that He amazed them. If we never see Jesus move in our lives, we'll never be amazed. And if you're never amazed, the whole city will never gather at the doors of the church. But once they're there, that's not their job. It's up to Jesus. You know, I said they had sympathy. I said they had compassion. And they brought those people to the power of Jesus. Because Jesus had sympathy first. God had sympathy first. When he was before time, before creation, he saw us. He's going to create us. And he knew that we were going to be in sin. And he saw that bondage and he had sympathy for us. But he didn't stop at sympathy. He had compassion, which moved him to action. And he sent his son to come to earth to live a perfect sinless life so that he could be the sacrifice, the atonement for my sin and for your sin. God had compassion in sending his only son. And that day here, he had sympathy. He had compassion. Because I'm sure not every one of those people from the whole city came into Peter's house. I'm sure it wasn't that big a house. So I'm sure Jesus went out to meet them and healed them and drove out the demons. And had transforming power on their lives. So he had sympathy, he had compassion, he had transforming power. That's the same thing he calls for you and me. To have sympathy that moves to compassion and then allow the power of God that transforms to be used through us in the Holy Spirit. But if it's not easy, we don't do it. I want to close with one thing here, and I hope this hits you as hard as it did me. I'm going to read two parts of this passage over again. The demon knew who Jesus was. He said, "You're Jesus of Nazareth. You're the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And then in the very last verse, he healed many. He cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Anybody that knew who Jesus was wanted to tell about Jesus. The demons wanted to talk about him. Now, what were they going to say? Maybe it wasn't going to be good. God doesn't want praise from demons. He wants praise from the people that love him. And if the demons are willing to talk because they know who he is, why shouldn't I, if I know who he is, talk too? You tell me why any Christian is not talking about what Jesus can do. Because even the demons want to do that. But that's somebody else's job. I tried, it didn't work. It's not my gift. You use whatever you want to use. But if you are a child of God, then the Holy Spirit indwells in you. And the only reason you're not out there talking, the only reason you're not out there with compassion and allowing the transforming power of God to work through you in the Holy Spirit is because you are suppressing, quenching the Holy Spirit. That's not coming from me. That's coming from His Word. Where are we at? The whole city is not gathered at Jesus' door because we're not amazed. The people that see Him, the people that know Him are not amazed. So why should they come? If He doesn't amaze us, is He going to amaze them? Not if we don't tell Him. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You so much for all that You do. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, through Your Word, that You would encourage us, that You would motivate us, You would challenge us, convict us. Lord, whatever we need, God, may You move in us. Yeah. and may we be submissive to the Holy Spirit this day and forever. In your name we pray. Amen.